The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I don't see how it's not second.
The pick is in.
With the 15th pick, the New England Patriots select Mac Jones.
Mac fits the style of offense that Bill has typically played. I think he's ready to play day one.
Secretly, I really wanted to go to the Patriots all along.
In New England, it's truly a competition.
You'll be a fool not to think that I don't want to be a starter.
If Mac outplays him, Campbell will be standing right over there next to Bill.
In just 2 minutes, we'll take you to Patriots-Giants joint practice, which you're seeing right there. You'll hear the latest on where that Pats quarterback competition stands. Plus, someone here thinks Mac Jones should start. The other thinks Cam Newton should. You know that's shaping up to be a good one as we welcome you here to NFL Live. Also later, the one thing the Dolphins can do offensively to make sure Tua has his fastball. Dan Orlovsky's there. Marcus Spears is here as well. They're with you for the hour. But let's get right to the news of the day with Adam Schefter. We begin with the Titans. What's going on there, Adam?
All right, Laura, the Tennessee Titans have had 9 players and coaches, including quarterback Ryan Tannehill and head coach Mike Vrabel, test positive and are now on the COVID-19 list. Tannehill now will miss anywhere from 5 to 10 days, has to test clean twice before he can return. And this is a breakthrough case because Ryan Tannehill is vaccinated and still tested positive for COVID-19. And so a team last year that had issues with COVID and the Tennessee Titans now are having more. The Chicago Bears are supposed to play there on Saturday night, preseason game. The regular season is just over 2 weeks away. And here we have a significant issue in Tennessee that's a reminder yet again that even though it's a new season, there are some issues that carry over from COVID last year. Daily testing is gone for individuals who've been vaccinated. And there have been and will continue to be discussions about bringing it back. And here is case example exhibit A. Why?
We're going to have more from Adam on this in moments. But Marcus, how do you see COVID impacting this season?
Well, look, Shefty made the point about us. We have to operate like it was last year. And I know nobody wants to hear that. And I'm not going to get into vaccinated, unvaccinated. But the NFL and the league is operating like they did last year outside of the stipulations for vaccinated players. But the bottom line is this, y'all. The same threat is still there that we had last season. The NFL did a phenomenal job of working their way through that season. We had teams, we had individual players that got COVID or had COVID run through their building, and they managed and helped and facilitated the opportunity for these teams to play. The point being, we have to still operate under those same parameters because we're still dealing with this monster, which is COVID. So that is very important. Because now as we get back into the season and now as we will have some stadiums full, we will have things like that transpiring that reminds us and resembles the simplicity of football and the excitement around the game before it actually starts. But still, these players have to make a sacrifice and decisions because COVID is still prevalent.
Now, Adam, to that point, some Bills players fined for COVID violations. What happened there?
Well, Isaiah McKenzie posted a letter today that the NFL fined him $14,650 for being an unvaccinated individual who was spotted repeatedly for not wearing a mask in the building. And so the league is trying to do what it can to enforce the rules, but inevitably, we're living at a time where different people have different beliefs about the virus, but yet a season is trying to be played, and the NFL is going to continue to hand out fines to individuals that it finds in violation of the rules that currently are in place to try to preserve the season.
More from Adam Schefter throughout the show. Let's get to the joint practice today between the Patriots and the Giants. And the big news today is that Cam Newton back on the field after missing for a misunderstanding with testing. The team saying that it wasn't a violation of team rules. You see Mac Jones there as well. These two in a dead heat of a quarterback competition, and Mac Jones was the guy who was extremely accurate yesterday, even got the low five from Bill Belichick. Speaking of that, the person who reported it was Mike Reese, and now he's here with us. And you were there today at this joint practice. We were there yesterday as well. Mike, what did we learn about the Patriots quarterback competition today?
Well, Laura, I would say the biggest thing we learned is that Bill Belichick isn't ready to hand things over to Mac Jones yet. Cam Newton back at practice for the first time, and it was almost like he never left. He was the first quarterback through the competitive drills, and he led a touchdown drive in his 11-on-11 segment of practice, had a couple of long, nice throws. And then Mac Jones followed him in practice, and one of the first things Mac told reporters after practice, today wasn't as good for him as yesterday when he was hot, when he had 18 straight completions. He had one interception in this practice. He said the Giants safeties were doing some different things that he can learn from. And he finished by saying, we can definitely finish better, and that starts with me.
Mike, you with the Patriots side of things, we'll get the Giants side of the joint practice a little later on the show. Thanks so much to Mike Reese for the latest from Patriots camp. We've been following this thing as it's unfolded. And yesterday, Dan, you said if Mac Jones took the first team reps today, yeah, you thought it was his job. So what do you make of today's practice now knowing what Cam did?
Yeah, the fact that Cam missed time, or maybe the reason why in Bill Belichick's eyes, it wasn't worthy of him losing that starting role, or at least being the guy that walked out there with the ones today. I guess the performance from Mac Jones yesterday wasn't enough. But I do find it interesting, and you guys can check me if I'm wrong on this, because it has sounded like all offseason, all summer, Bill Belichick has been adamant, Cam Newton's our starter, Cam Newton's our starter, Cam Newton's our starter. And then to Mike Reese's report, and I heard it today in a press conference, somebody asked Bill Belichick, when are you going to name the starting quarterback? What's your timetable? And he said, well, I'm not there yet. I'm not putting a timetable on it. I'm not ready to do that. From everything that I've heard, that's different. That is different from everything that I've heard. I have been adamant. I believe that Mac Jones should be their starting quarterback. I believe that if he's been this good already, imagine what he's going to be like in November and December. So it just sounds like Bill's not, or Coach Belichick, excuse me, did not deem that time, or the reason the time with Cam was away, worthy of going, all right, Mac, you're now the guy to walk out there with the ones.
And, D.O., I think you make great points, man, especially you know what we talk about all the time. And the fortunate part we talked about was the opportunity to compete for a starting job. Last year, that wasn't afforded to a lot of guys, and you had to kind of makeshift things and piecemeal stuff together, which was the situation with Cam. And then when you look at this particular preseason, obviously the first-round draft pick that they took 15th is going to get a lot of hype, and everybody's going to talk about what he's done. But here's the reality. And look, this is a caveat. Mac Jones has 38 attempts to Cam's 16. But the point is, and the reason why I wanted this graphic to go up, is based on Cam's reps, he's done nothing to give away the starting job. And I get it that Mac has looked good. It seems like he has a tremendous grasp of the system. He understands what the New England Patriots are trying to do. You and I have talked about the premium that they put on valuing and taking care of the football.
Right.
But when you look at those numbers, what that tells me is Cam hasn't given it away with the opportunities that's been given to him. And I think that is what Bill Belichick is operating off of, with all of the stuff in the back of his mind about how last year played out and possibly feeling like Cam, there's no way he could have came in and had success in that particular situation.
Yeah, but that's my – I have an issue with that, because I've heard people say it, and I don't know if you have this philosophy, like, well, Cam's going to be better than he was last year. But that's not that is no relevancy in today. You play the guy that has been better now. I don't care if Cam is better now than he was last year, or we're going to get a better version of Cam Newton because of health and because of the pieces around him. The Patriots should play the guy that has been the best player at that position in camp now. And I've talked to people who go to practice every day who have said, Mac's the best guy. He's had the better camp.
And so why has he had the better camp?
They just said he's been the better quarterback over the period of time, the body of work. He has performed better. And so I don't think it's fair to say, well, we're going to get a better version of Cam Newton this year. That doesn't. But what happens if the better version of Cam Newton this year is not better than the version of Mac Jones now?
But Dan, you, regardless of whatever quarterback you put in, you hoping that they succeed, right? Like, you're hoping that they're better. And Mac, we all know the intensity of the season is going to pick up. That's what everybody fears about rookie quarterbacks. Now, you and I have stood on our platform and said the time for that is gone. Right. Like, if these guys are ready and you can translate the opportunity for them playing. But here's the deal, too, with saying Mac has been better. Do we not trust Bill Belichick? Like, until he says that Mac Jones is the starter, because the one thing you and I both know playing in this league for a long time is that Bill Belichick ain't going to do nobody no favors.
Right.
When it comes to if somebody is clearly head and shoulders above whoever they're competing in that position for. All I'm saying is this, and you may be absolutely right. Mac Jones may be the better quarterback. He may eventually be the guy this year where all of us come back on this show and say, yeah, we missed it earlier, but I believe this, and you know you and I have talked about this. I think Bill Belichick believes that Cam Newton a better, because to your point when you said what's better, what are we comparing that to? If we comparing it to last year, it's not a lot of room for him to get worse. But the bottom line is this. You got offseason, you got training camp. Based on the work that Cam has put on film during these preseason games and obviously coming back and being implemented as the first guy in practice means that Bill Belichick has seen what he needs to see in order to keep him in that position. So maybe I'm just trusting
that
more than the reports that are coming out, because I've never known Belichick not to go with the best guy at the position.
You know, but to Dan's point earlier, Bill Belichick did change slightly what he's been saying about this quarterback competition and saying that he still hasn't figured things out. He'd been saying that Cam was a starter. And, Adam, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it just feels like a lot of these coaches that have these quarterback battles where you've got the veteran player and then the younger guy are leaning toward the veteran players, and for a good reason, at least in their minds, right?
Yeah, listen, they're trying to be patient and they're trying to take a long-term view with these young rookie quarterbacks. And here's the other thing. We're analyzing every one of these head coaches' words on a daily basis. Every single day, they're asked questions about the quarterback competition. And the moment they say something different, everybody's waiting to pounce to say, whoa, did you just not say that Cam is locked in as the starter in week one? And so that's clickbait for the people on the internet. It's content for us on this show. We're analyzing every word, every day from every press conference. It's ridiculous. The fact of the matter is Bill's been pretty open about the fact that he plans to have Cam as the opening day starter. And as the head coach of the Patriots, watching everything that goes on the practice field and in the building, he reserves the right to change his mind if he believes it's in the best interest of the team. But let me say this, Mac Jones has been special this summer. He has been. But they think Cam can be a really good quarterback with all these added new weapons. And so we'll continue to assess what Bill Belichick says every day and analyze it the way we analyze Matt Nagy and Kyle Shanahan and every coach who's waiting on one of these quarterback decisions.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Now on ESPN.com, we asked NFL analysts to rank their personal top 10 NFL quarterbacks entering the 2021 season in 12 distinct categories, from the arm strength to field vision. We then combine those lists with a point-based system to generate a final ranking in each area. It's super interesting. Check it out if you have a chance on ESPN.com. But it got us thinking, Dan, who participated in this activity, let's get a few of these categories and build right here your perfect quarterback. So let's begin with arm strength. Who do you take?
Arm strength is an easy one for me. It's Patrick Mahomes, the strongest arm in the NFL. You guys remember like those Powerade commercials where Michael Vick would like throw the ball at a stadium or something like that? That's Patrick Mahomes' arm. And the thing that gives him the best arm strength is he's got the ability to throw these launches downfield, right? These 50-yard, 60-yard launches, bodies all over the place. But then he's also got the velocity to drive it into some unique window. So arm strength-wise, for me, it's Patrick Mahomes just because it's so special.
All right, I'm with you on that. What about rushing?
Me. No, it's not me. This would be Lamar Jackson. For a couple reasons. One, Lamar's got long speed. Long speed is when you have the ability to just run by people. I can outrun you or I can run around you. It's kind of the ability to do either. But then he's got those wiggles, that short space, in and out, lateral quickness. That's why he's the best runner. There's a reason why he's 6'6 a carry over the last two seasons. The ability just to run away from people, run around people, give him the wiggles. You remember when he put the dude for Buffalo on stage?
Oh,
no offense.
That poor guy, I know. Yeah, we won't name names here. How about accuracy?
Aaron Rodgers. Because I don't believe in accuracy that much. I believe in ball placement, okay? And you guys remember the movie The Patriot when he's like, aim small, miss small? That's Mel Gibson to Heath Ledger. Great movie, rest in peace. But aim small, miss small. And I believe that Rodgers just does that on every single throw. It's like throwing a ball through a keyhole or playing darts. Exactly where you want the ball to go, I can control it in any capacity.
So far, Dan's perfect quarterback has Aaron Rodgers' head, Patrick Mahomes' arms, Lamar Jackson's legs. Who's the best?
Can you imagine if I didn't put him on here?
Leadership standpoint. I know who you're going with here.
Tom Brady, obviously.
Boom.
Now, Tom Brady goes to New England and wins 1,000 games, and then he goes down to Tampa, and they haven't won anything in a dozen years, and all of a sudden they win the Super Bowl. I think the greatest thing about his leadership, though, is he holds himself accountable. He holds the people around him accountable. He uplifts them. He empowers them, and he loves on them. And when you do that, everybody wants to follow you. It's not, yes, they were a talented football team, but make no mistake about it. The leadership was the reason, or a huge reason why they won the Super Bowl last year. So this human, this
does this guy exist
creation,
anywhere? Everyone's like, can I draft this quarterback? Dan?
I think the Jaguars think they did.
Well, maybe they did. Marcus, what do you think about Dan's ideal QB and how much fun he's having here doing this?
Come on.
I have legit no disagreement with this body of work that Dan
There's a first
together.
For everything.
Like, it is wonderful. You know what it made me think about, though? You know what it made me think about, D.O. L. Boogie?
What?
It made me think about which one guy has most of these traits.
That's a great question. Oh.
And maybe that's why what we're
this
watching
helmet.
With Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes.
You think so?
Yeah. Wait, you think Aaron Rodgers
15,
has most
bro.
Of these traits?
15.
Can I say both? Can I say
no,
great
you
question?
Can't. We already let you pick this whole guy here. You have to pick. So,
I love
Marcus,
him.
That's the one.
Patrick Mahomes has most of the traits in your mind that we've displayed here.
Yeah, in my mind, I would probably take Pat, and it's hard to go against 12, man, because people forget, because Aaron Rodgers is older, that his mobility is still elite enough to get out of trouble. But what I've seen Mahomes do, And even in the Super Bowl, when he was throwing some passes that I couldn't believe he actually got up
and
in the air,
here.
It changed everything for me. So it's 15.
Dan, so final answer, Aaron Rodgers?
Why do you guys do this to me?
We like to put
I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers, but Patrick is right there. Patrick
Respect.
Is still the most talented I've ever
Respect.
Seen in my life.
Okay, I'm going to tell Patrick Mahomes that you said that. We're going to make sure he finds out.
Why is everyone trying to get me in trouble with the quarterback?
Yesterday, you said you wanted Derek Carr instead of Matt Stafford, and we will never forget. New on NFL Live, here's Aaron Rodgers today when asked if it's Super Bowl or bust for the Packers this year.
Look, I think we all know what's at stake, and I talked about that a little bit today about perspective and how important that perspective is to focus on this season and enjoy the most the most out of this season, because there are a lot of unknowns. You know, Devontae, Marquez, Allen, Bobby, Mercedes, some guys up front, guys on defense. So, they jumped through some hoops to get under the cap this year. Obviously, the cap is expected to go back up next year, but you never know. So, we're just going to enjoy this season. It's title town. It's championship or disappointment just about every year.
Well, Dan?
A little bit of Captain Obvious, right? I will say, hearing that, it is very talented. He knows everything. He knows exactly where guys stand with their contract situation, what the cap is like. He knows how important this season is because he's aware of, I think the honesty of not knowing what's in the future. So, yeah, I believe this. The back-to-back NFC title games, I think it's Super Bowl or bust, championship or disappointment, however we want to categorize it is.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that it's his last best chance, but it is probably his last best chance with the Packers.
Yeah.
Let's go to the 49ers, where Kyle Shanahan has yet to name a starting quarterback between Jimmy G and Trey Lance. And many counted Jimmy G out of the competition before camp even started because of where the 49ers picked Lance at third overall. But how about this from yesterday? Jimmy G's face seemed to say a lot. Listen.
Got a great face.
Kyle said he had a pretty good idea who'd be the starting quarterback in week one. Do you have a pretty good idea?
Yeah, I have a pretty good idea.
He was smiling about it. That must mean something, right?
It's whatever he decides, yeah. I have a pretty good idea. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at right now and everything, and just the offense as a whole. But, yeah, Kyle's the head man. He'll make the call.
I mean, does Jimmy know something we don't know? Adam, what are you hearing on the 49ers quarterbacks?
Well, Kyle Shanahan himself said yesterday he had a quote-unquote pretty good idea of where this was going. You saw Jimmy's words and listened to them right there. Does that look like a man who's ready to hear that Trey Lance is the opening day starting quarterback for the 49ers? It doesn't look that way. And again, it's similar in San Francisco to the way it is in Chicago, almost to the way it is in New England. The rookie's time is coming in all of the places. It just doesn't seem right now as if that time is coming on opening day. It seems like all these teams want to lean on their veterans early on. We don't know whether that will last a week or two or three or a month or whatever it is, but it certainly seems like Jimmy Garoppolo is on track to be the opening day starter, which is what Kyle Shanahan has said in the past and hasn't given us an indication to think otherwise. But Trey Lance has played well, and so that gap could be closed at any time. We'll continue analyzing every word, Laura.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just makes you even that much more excited for the season because we will see these rookies play and maybe even start sooner rather than later. As for how they'll use Trey Lance, here's a little more from Shanahan on that.
Depends who we're playing, what the situation is, what fronts. I mean, you know, I don't know when that's going to happen. Could happen today, could happen week one, could happen not till the end of the year. But I think you have a guy who has a skill set to come in and do some different things, and that's what we've been working him at, and we'll do that when we think it helps us. You know, watching New Orleans doing it with Drew and Taysom has been pretty cool over the last 3 years. I'm sure that took them some time to kind of get the flow of that, but it's nothing that you can say, hey, we did this in practice, so this is how it's going to be. You adjusted that in games, and that's you prepare for everything, but you don't know until you go through it. So that's why I don't sit here and pretend like I have all the answers, because I don't. You prepare for every situation, you work the guys to the best of their ability, and then you see what your game plan is and you figure out what gives you the best chance to win that game, and you try to keep your thoughts just to that.
Yeah, that Drew Brees, Taysom Hill thing is a little interesting there. And so far this preseason, the 49ers have yet to unveil Trey Lance's talents as a runner. He's just one rushing attempt for 8 yards. And that's something Shanahan could look to utilize certainly this season for sure. Trey Lance, a dynamic runner at North Dakota State, accounting for over 1,300 rush yards and 18 touchdowns on the ground. And Marcus, as Shanahan was talking there, you were shaking your head. What do you think's going on here? Why were you shaking the head?
Nah, I get the analogy he's making with Drew Brees and Taysom Hill, but the Saints ain't draft Taysom Hill third overall.
Mm.
So we dealing in a whole different atmosphere if Trey Lance get out there and start balling and putting series together. But here's the bottom line. Like, what Shanahan talked about is very smart. Listen, you want a defense to worry about both of these guys playing, especially in a week of preparation when you have such differing abilities when it comes to athleticism. You want that. But as a defensive player playing in this league for 9 years, I do not want to see. I repeat, I do not want to see Trey Lance in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And this is what we talked about, y'all, leading up to the draft. Like, all of our questions was, what if this dude get an athletic quarterback already coupled with what he does from an offensive standpoint? This the same guy that went up to Green Bay and ran for 300 and threw 8 passes in that game with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now you put a quarterback that has mobility, that has arm strength, but you can make defenses defend every position, skill position player on the field. I'm afraid of that, and it's great strategy to have both, to have their teams that they're playing against thinking that both guys will play.
Yeah, I actually thought when you were saying I do not want to see I thought you were going to say me playing quarterback when you have to prepare for the week. That's what I thought you were going to go to.
Terrifying. Listen, striking fear into these defenses.
I get it. It's super smart for Kyle to even kind of communicate that he's going to use Trey Lance in these certain packages. Number one, I believe to be a rare offense in the NFL, you got to be able to throw the ball at will, and then you got to be able to run 11 on 11 quarterback run stuff. But I look at their first five games. Okay, first 2 weeks of the season, what stands out to me? Those are new coaching staffs. First time those coaches are ever going to have to prepare to play an NFL football game. So imagine the burden, the challenge of I'm a head coach or staff. This is the first time I've ever doing it. Now I've got to prepare for two quarterbacks, two offenses. That's Detroit and Philadelphia. Third grade Packers. I'm assuming both those teams are going to be fighting for playoff spots at some point throughout the end of the season. And then divisional games against Arizona and Seattle. So now those divisional opponents are preparing again for, hey, how many snaps is Trey Lance going to be in? But we also got to prepare for the passing game with Jimmy Garoppolo. Then you get to week six and it's the bye. So these coaches, Kyle's kind of inception-like, planting stuff in their minds, new coaching staffs,
absolutely.
Now divisional games. I'm also getting this young man reps, and maybe it's this, I'm utilizing it to help our football team steal a win or two, but also getting him ready to potentially take over in the week six bye. So it's actually very smart for Kyle to communicate that this is going to be a plan package-wise with Trey Lance.
After the way that Trey Lance finished the last preseason game, Dan, you said you would start Trey Lance week one.
Yeah, I would.
Thinking about this, so you would still do that as opposed to the two quarterback thing and maybe giving a little bit more to think about for these coaches?
Yeah, I would. If I'm playing Trey Lance, they still got to think a lot about it. You know, they still got to prepare for it. So
yeah.
I would start him, yes.
Yeah.
But Kyle seems to go, I'm going to play Garoppolo with a mix of a package with Trey Lance.
Marcus, did you have something?
Not just holistically, like I like to remind everybody that Kittle missed a tremendous amount of games. Mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel missed games. Nick Bosa was out. So it's not only that you have to prepare for a two-quarterback system, or even if you have to prepare for Trey Lance, you got to prepare for damn near the best tight end in the league and one of the best Swiss Army dual threat, whatever you want to call Deebo Samuel, in the league as well. But that's something else that's on people's mind. Last year, San Francisco was ravaged by injury. Now they get all of these killers back, man.
Hey, it's a prove-it year in Miami for Tua Tagovailoa, as we've seen a lot of progress already in this preseason. They got him the weapons, and you've seen that work out well from a chemistry standpoint so far. Here he is in action in a game already this preseason, but what can he do when the season actually begins? That remains to be seen, but high praise from the Dolphins legend, Dan Marino.
No, I just think he has a better understanding of where he wants to go with the football and all that. I mean, that's the important part. And then dealing with protections and all that stuff, he's done a really good job with that. Tua has been our guy, and we're going to stick with him.
I think he's the best RPO quarterback in the NFL already. If I was the Dolphins, I'm going to major in two things offensively. RPOs with levels, and then those progression-based pass concepts that allow him to play sudden and instinctual.
It's the instincts. It was a big reason why the Dolphins even drafted him and why so many teams were interested in him, despite the injuries that he was dealing with at that time. Marcus, with Dan's points and what you think about with Tua, why is this offseason going to be different for him?
Well, this is his rookie season. This is his first opportunity to really get multiple looks before he enters into a football game. And then, too, when we think about last year, y'all, it was dealing with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He didn't know if he was going to start or play, and then he would get in and get pulled. Obviously, we remember when they played Las Vegas and he got pulled, and Fitzmagic came in and threw one with his face mask being ripped off. This is Tua's team now. So not only is that confidence coming into the season, but you also get a chance to work with your guys and build a rapport, and they go out and draft Jalen Waddle, a guy that he already has rapport with and feels comfortable. And I love what Dan just showed, because a lot of when Chip Kelly, I'm going to take you back, Dio. When Chip Kelly came into the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles, he thought that he could implement that type of offense that he had at Oregon and it would just take off.
Right.
And it did not happen that way. But now we're in an era where teams are drafting quarterbacks and implementing what they do well in college. Yeah. Because now it works and you can build your rosters around that. Tua is in that position. I think he's going to take off, y'all. Mm. We had a conversation about if Tua, this is a bust year or this is – no. Tua is going to play well for the Miami Dolphins because they have him in his comfort zone, as D.O. just pointed out.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get the latest around the NFL with Adam Schefter here on NFL Live. Adam, take us through some of your news and notes, starting with the latest in Tennessee.
Well, Laura, there are now 9 members of the Titans organization, 7 players, 2 coaches that have tested positive for COVID-19. Keep in mind, this team is getting ready to close out the preseason and to begin preparations for the regular season opener against the Arizona Cardinals. Amongst the 9 positive tests include head coach Mike Vrabel and the quarterback Ryan Tannehill. That's not a good sign for this team dealing with a mini outbreak right now in Tennessee. And the NFL finally approved the trade of Sony Michel to the Los Angeles Rams after initially it rejected the terms of conditional draft picks sent to New England because you can't trade conditional compensatory picks yet that aren't established. So the Rams had to go back, redo it, wound up giving up a 4th and a 6th round pick to New England. The Patriots get 2 picks, and the Rams get the running back that they wanted to add for more depth and talent in their backfield.
Adam, this was funny from our Rams reporter, Lindsay Theory. Asked what he remembers about Sony Michel from Super Bowl 53. Aaron Donald says, "I don't want to talk about it." So, of course, with a hint of a smile there as well. Those two, if you remember, Sony Michel was the guy who was scoring in that game. All right, Marcus, how important is it for Saquon to be on the field week 1? We will actually get to that in just a minute, because first we are going back to the joint practice between the Patriots and the Giants. And we've got reporters covered right and left here. Mike Reese with the Patriots, Jordan Renan with the Giants. We begin with Mike in the latest there.
Laura, one of the first things Mac Jones told reporters after practice was this: today wasn't as good. Mac was 11 of 22 in this practice with an interception. And he said, unlike the day before, he couldn't get into the same type of game flow. And the other big storyline for the Patriots with the quarterbacks was that Cam Newton was back, and he was back in his familiar spot as the number 1 quarterback through all competitive drills. He was 8 of 10 in this practice, and he led a touchdown drive. Now for more on the Giants, let's go to Jordan Ronan.
Thanks, Mike. It was a big day for Saquon Barkley. And that Patriots defense, they got the first look at him in live drills since he tore his knee in week 2 of last season. Barkley took 8 total reps in live drills during Thursday's practice. 4 came in 7-on-7, 4 came in 11-on-11 drills. Barkley, he caught 3 passes on 3 targets with a touchdown. But the most notable play to me was a slant pass Barkley caught over the middle with Dante Hightower on his hip. Vintage Barkley, he thought it would have been an even bigger play if he was allowed the opportunity to shake the Patriots linebacker. I asked Barkley afterwards if he thought he was back to his former self. He said, "I feel really good right now." That's an encouraging sign for the Giants and for the possibility of him playing week 1. So too was Daniel Jones's performance. He had a bounce back day after struggling on Wednesday. Back to you, Laura.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. I mean, it does sound like vintage Saquon Barkley. So back to that question that I really wanted to ask Marcus Spears. How important do you think it is for Saquon to be on the field week 1?
It's imperative. Listen, not only for this football team, obviously we know Saquon is the weapon that everybody fears that plays for the New York Giants. But it also is in Daniel Jones' maturation. It's how Jason Garrett is going to call plays. And it's almost like you got to cover up some things for this offensive line there as well. We're getting the ball out of D. Jones' hands quick. So Saquon coming back gives you a dynamic playmaker. He's in that same class with Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, those guys that do it dually, right? Like you may look up at the end of the season, Saquon has 600 yards receiving, 700. That's not far-fetched for him of how dynamic he is once the ball is in his hands. He helps this team in totality, but more importantly, when you get to the game on third downs, when you got a back that potentially can be matched up against a linebacker or you could dump off an underneath route to and he can get it done.
Adam, what are you hearing about Saquon's progress?
Listen, he's coming along and they're treating him very carefully, as they should. Again, the season's 2.5 weeks away. There's no need to put a running back out there any sooner than they should. He was limited in practice today. They'll continue to work him back in slowly, gradually. You're not going to see Saquon come out of the gates early in the season with a hefty workload, I don't think. But as the season goes on, you'll see him take more and more work. Coming off a major injury, they want to make sure that they have Saquon for the full season.
And Dan, what does this Giants offense need to be successful this season?
Yeah, four things. Number one, stop playing so stagnant. You were the 25th team in the NFL last year when it comes to usage of motion, both pre and at the snap motion. Help everybody on offense. Two, Daniel Jones averaged 6.5 yards per carry. 6+ rushes, designed quarterback carries per game out of him. Number three, you got to attack the middle of the field more in your pass game. Everything's to the perimeter. Big tight ends, Evan Ingram, Kyle Rudolph. Kenny Galladay at wide receiver is a big physical guy. Use the middle of the field more. And then I would get Saquon Barkley and Kadarius Toney, who needs to get on the field, 25 touches a game total. I don't care how they get. Hand the ball off to him, screen it to him, perimeter screen it to him, throw him jet sweeps. I don't care, but those two players should get 25 touches together to help their offense. Those are four things Jason Garrett needs to do for them.
Kadarius Toney, such a versatile weapon that they drafted out of Florida. Time for one more thing before we go. And listen, when it comes to pre-show snacks, everyone's got their own vibe. Our guy Swagoo eating us some more pre-show. I want to know, Marcus, did you go and like roast the marshmallows sometime around 3:45? How did this come down?
Sure did, over the stove. My kids come home with snacks that I always want to try. So they brought in marshmallows that's already packed with the chocolate, and all you got to do is put it over the stove and put it in between the graham cracker. It's fire, too. I got some left if y'all want some.
It's such a dangerous snack, Dan. Like, that would end up all over me.
Minute on the lips, lifetime on the hips, Marcus. We got to be better.
Marshmallows going to get stuck on his lips?
Listen, all of that stuff y'all just said, I do not care.
This is the same guy that goes on these walks. Man, we gotta do it right, fam.
He's doing great.
We gotta do it right. Y'all hold me accountable.
Tomorrow, I'm eating us some more before the show, okay? Who's with me?
I'm never gonna be like you and eat dry chicken and broccoli every day, bro.
We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.